right now, black culture is being held captive.
So Nicki Minaj was on stage with Erica Kirk at Turning Point USA's AmFest, despite the fact that Charlie Kirk once said this.
Nicki Minaj, Cardi B.
Okay,
Nicki
Minaj is causing dads to leave the home.
Hold on a second. I don't think that's a good role model for 18-year-old black girls. I don't think that songs that are talking about, like, glorifying wet female genitalia is... Right now, black culture is being held captive by influences, songs,
which
and
influences?
Role models. I mean, Nicki Minaj. I don't think that's a good role model for 18-year-old black girls.
I love this woman. She's an amazing woman. She has a soul and a heart for the Lord. And words are words, but I know her heart, and it doesn't even matter.
If you didn't know about Nicki Minaj's brother, back in 2017, he was actually convicted his 11-year-old. If you didn't know, there was DNA evidence found.
Our next guest is speaking out for the first time on camera regarding the lawsuit she filed against Nicki Minaj and her husband, Kenneth Petty.
Hey, what's up, Kenneth? How's it going, bro? You all right today? Hey, man, how does it feel being married to one of the, like, greatest rappers out there, man?
So I don't think I thought about if I got justice. I just knew he did what he did, and he went to jail, and I had to leave my family, I had to leave my home.
Well, of course she would, because her own husband is a PDF of children, and she's trying to get him a pardon. The funny thing is, Charlie Kirk himself would be rolling over in his grave if he knew that his wife just sold out to Nicki Minaj.
This is the Dean.
Mike Dean, how are you?
I'm good, brother. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, good. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for being here. Or for having me here, I guess.
Yes, thank you. So, Nicki Minaj, what made you decide to report on this? This is really interesting, this clip where Charlie Kirk...
Minaj, Cardi B.
Okay, Nicki Minaj is causing dads to leave the home.
Hold on a second. I don't think that's a good role model for 18-year-old black girls. I don't.
And you rightfully said it. He'd be rolling over his grave. He wasn't somebody who was a fan of that type of immorality that she's promoting. And now they got her as part of the Turning Point USA.
Yeah, I mean, ever since Charlie Kirk was assassinated in Utah, the whole thing of what Turning Point USA was under his foundation, and I have a lot of disagreements with it, especially his anti-Islam rhetoric that he made a living on until the very end, where he started to change his tune a little bit, has really just flipped now that he's gone. And you see this, you know, kind of gamification of TPUSA, and I like to reference it to the new WWE factor that they're trying to implement. And if you look into Erica Kirk, into her family, into her history, there's a lot of ties that keep going back to the state of Israel. And Charlie Kirk was turning against that, and he was taking a lot of backlash. He had major Jewish donors pulling away from him. And now that he's out of the way, it's all back on board with the Zionist Israeli money coming flooding back in. And then you have these big events where you have people like Nicki Minaj. Now, listen, I don't have anything personally against Nicki Minaj. I simply made that video to point out, listen, the founder of this organization was strictly against the things that Nicki Minaj promotes. And now you have her as a keynote speaker sitting there, and then she makes this really odd statement about JD Vance being an assassin, and then she like just goes completely like robotic silent for 8 seconds, and then you have Erica Kirk trying to clean it up and like defend her and everything and laugh it off. And it was just extremely weird, extremely odd. I mean, there's the only thing that you can really say. And then so for me, I just found this whole story behind Charlie Kirk, this whole story that is unfolding about Erica Kirk and TPUSA, it's very fascinating when you start looking into it. And I've always been a curious person where I like to look into things that I don't understand. I had never really followed Charlie Kirk before. I'd heard some of his anti-Islamic statements, which were disgusting to me, especially being that I'm a revert Muslim myself, even though I'm a conservative white American. I just found it very odd, the whole circumstances between about his assassination and now what Erica Kirk is doing with this organization since his being deceased. So I found that, you know, really odd, and I just decided to make a clip about it. And it's, you know, it's catching a lot of fire because I'm not the only one that's making these clips that's talking about this. It's all over the internet right now. All of these Freudian slips, like Erica Kirk getting up on stage and referring to this guy standing next to her as grifting, right? Another Freudian slip. And then she tries to clean it up. And now you have a Freudian slip here with Nicki Minaj on stage. And I find it really fascinating because on my Instagram and Facebook, especially, I have a mix of an audience between conservative white Americans and liberal Americans. And the conservative Americans absolutely hate anything to do with Nicki Minaj. They find her repulsive to their cause, right? Which is white Christian nationalism. And I think that it's very interesting that Nicki Minaj would be on TPUSA. Is it like Erica's trying to destroy Charlie Kirk's organization or what? Because I guarantee she just lost half of their audience after having her on.
Yeah, really think about that. I mean, again, we disagree, like you said, about Charlie Kirk's. I was really close to having a face-to-face meeting with Charlie to kind of go over, because as he admitted to me in a private phone conversation that we had, that he was taught to hate Islam. These were his words verbatim, that, Eddie, look, I was taught to hate Islam, even though he knew really nothing about Islam. And yep. I was trying to get a meeting with him in person. But we could agree there's a lot of things that we agree with Christians, conservatives. And that's why I get blown away when many of these conservatives, Christians, they'll go on a rant and they'll be, you know, they'll spew this nonsense. It's kind of things that you hear a lot, that those Muslims, they don't accept our way of life. They don't want to assimilate. What does that mean, actually? What, I mean, is this your way of life now, Nicki Minaj? Is this what you're talking about with Charlie Kirk, somebody who obviously he was misguided when it came to Islam, but other things that we would agree with, that you should not promote sexual immorality. We would agree there. Relations outside of marriage, feminism, right? All these things that are really destroying OnlyFans. I mean, so what side of Satan worship?
There's a crazy boy who lives in me, and he says the things that I don't want to say.
The symbolism that goes with it, that she promote all of these things. And again, we want the best for Nicki Minaj and all these people. There's always hope until the last day, but you got to ask yourself, well, what side of the spectrum are you on? If you're promoting all of the things that are destroying society, are you on the side of helping humanity or destroying it? So Charlie Kirk, I mean, what was he upon? Was he upon these things that she's got a philosophy. She's got her way. She's got her own religion. Basically that she's, you know, following her desires and calling other people to do the same thing. So is this the new way that Turning Point USA is like bringing her in and to do what now? To gain more followers, because she has what, about 100 million plus followers and whatnot. So what do you think the strategy is here? What are they, because they're using each other. That's what it's all about at the end of the day, right? They're trying how they can benefit from her. What do you think at the end, and is at what cost?
Well, for Nicki Minaj, the end game is very simple. She's trying to get a pardon for her brother and her husband.
Okay,
you know, so there's that. You go and you suck up to Donald Trump, who's handing out pardons like, you know, Christmas candy.
Let's stop right there. Who, tell us, fill us in, because I didn't know about this. So most people don't know about this.
Yes. Yeah, so
who's her brother? What was he charged with? And that makes sense, though. So that's the motive with her now coming over here, trying to use this way to get close to Trump to pardon her brother, who did what?
Both her brother and her husband have federal charges against them. Her brother is, I believe, serving a 25-year sentence for child PDFing.
Wow.
And then her husband apparently has some similar charges against him as well. So I haven't looked into the full details of their case. It's very complicated, but it's the motive is very clear. You go and you start supporting Donald Trump. You you play him, you call him handsome and a great leader and all of these things publicly at TPUSA. And then you put in a pardon request and you get, you know, your loved ones pardoned from their crimes. So for her, it's a very obvious motive because there's no other gain for her. Nicki Minaj, by going to TPUSA and saying the things that she said, she just lost half of her fans that follow her music and her career, because the African American community is not in favor of what TPUSA preaches. And so I think it's a clear thing. Like she's making a calculated strategic pivot towards Donald Trump to get some favoritism and a pardon for loved ones. As far as Erica Kirk and what she's doing, again, I call it the WWE effect of what she's trying to do now with TPUSA. Even the memorial was more like a WWE event or a Republican National Congress party than a memorial to Charlie Kirk. And now AmFest is just the same thing. They're just bringing on anybody and everybody that they can possibly get to come out and bring in big names. But here's the problem with that. You've got to look at your base. And I made a video that Erica Kirk will be the destruction of TPUSA as Charlie Kirk built it. I don't think that TPUSA is going to go away, but as Charlie Kirk built it, it's going to definitely, it won't exist anymore, because what he was building was a white nationalist Christian organization. What she is building is a giant entertainment, just a sideshow. That's all it really is. Because everything that Charlie Kirk preached, even what she was preaching before he died, was mothers need to stay home, take care of their children. It's the most important role a woman can have. And this woman hasn't been home, as far as I can tell, in 3 months. Because every single day she's on a new TV show, she's on a new podcast, she's doing some event, she's at Mar-a-Lago.
That's Erica Kirk.
Erica Kirk, right.
Yeah, Erica. That's so Charlie,
Kirk preached against.
That's for the audience that doesn't know. So who you're talking about is Erica Kirk. That's Charlie Kirk's, the widow, widow of Charlie Kirk, who got assassinated. So this is who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you have a lot of what used to be ardent supporters of Charlie Kirk and TPUSA are now turning away, and they're going towards Nick Fuentes because he represents what Charlie Kirk was representing, just more on a bit more of an extreme manner. And so she's losing that. So what she's trying to do now, Erica, is trying to capture more of a moderate white Christian nationalist that's okay having somebody like Nicki Minaj on there, as long as the black people stay in their place, right? But to me, I think it's just a grift. It's about money. If you look at after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, TPUSA had death merch on their website within 12 hours, which sold out. Rough estimates is that they sold about $8.5 million worth of death merch of Charlie Kirk, within the first 72 hours of his death. How did they already have the merch designed and up on the website, QR codes, everything ready to go within just a few hours of him dying? Because this entire organization is about making money. So as soon as he died, they were like, how are we going to make money off of this? Okay, bam, let's make t-shirts, let's make death merch. And it sold out, right? They're still not even able to fulfill all of the orders. So to me, I think that's what TPUSA really is. When it comes to, you know, white Christians and why they don't understand a lot of things, us growing up in the United States is you don't get information. Let's take the Somali refugee community in Minnesota and in my home state. We have a good number of Somali refugees here. Why are they here? Well, if you look back at 2004, when George Bush Jr. paid Ethiopia $1.4 billion to invade Somalia in order to ensure that Somalia didn't have an Islamic government, that caused a massive fleeing of millions of people out of Somalia, because the Ethiopian military is absolutely horrendous towards its own Christian population. So imagine what they're like towards Somali population of Muslims. They are ancient rivals, and they have no allegiance to international law. And so you have groups like Amnesty International, human rights organizations, which were saying from 2004 to 2006, they documented tens of thousands of Somali women and girls. No one was spared of mass rapes, burnings, burning their villages, stealing all of their animals, completely making sure that they would have no way of an economy in the future. And so they fled everywhere that they could go. They fled to Kenya. They fled to Eritrea. They fled to other African countries. They fled to the Middle East, and they fled to the United States. That's why they're here. We caused that. So before you complain about them being here and not assimilating, look back at why they're even here, right? We literally told Ethiopia, George Bush Jr. told Ethiopia, I want you to invade them, and I'll give you $1.4 billion worth of military aid to do so. And they committed atrocities that nobody has ever been held accountable for. So I think that one of the biggest issues that we have in the United States with conservatives, and I consider myself a conservative, though I'm liberal on some aspects, like, you know, I think we should have Medicare for all. I think we should have free higher education. We're supposed to be the richest country in the world, yet we treat our poor like garbage. I think that's an abomination. But the biggest problem that we have in the United States with conservatives is they watch Fox News, and that's it. They get all their information from there, and Fox News is basically not a real news company. Rupert Murdoch, when he founded it, he coined the term infotainment. So it's not news, it's entertainment, but it has a little bit of information in it. So he completely changed the game, and now all of the major news networks do the same thing.
So Nicki Minaj, going back to what you're saying, you believe that this is why she's with Turning Point USA. So you would say Nicki Minaj is with Turning Point USA because she's trying to use Trump to get a pardon for her husband and her brother?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
I mean, it's clear. It's clear. I mean, I can't say for sure. Only God knows the intentions of another individual. But if you just use common logic, what does she have to gain from this? Because all she's going to lose is the people who buy her music and listen to her music. So she's not gaining anything that way for her career. So it's got to be what everybody else is doing with the Trump administration. You have a loved one who has a felony, federal felony. You go to Donald Trump, you pander to him, you pay him some money. You call him really good names and defend him, and he gives you a pardon.
And then if you're the Erica Kirk, you're saying she's turning this Turning Point USA into more of a WWE WrestleMania type, where this is just a big entertainment platform, and going away from what Charlie Kirk was trying to establish. He was trying to establish something that what you were saying is what we as Muslims, we agree with some of those things you were mentioning about.
Yeah.
About the roles of the genders and helping to be living your family, living more of a upright, righteous, moral life. All those things we'd agree with, right? As Muslims, to get these women off of OnlyFans, to get rid of porn. I mean, what other things? I mean, when I mentioned earlier, what goes to your mind when you hear some of these people out there, conservative Christians, and they'll paint Muslims like, oh, they hate our way of life, or they don't want to accept our way of life. And I'm always thinking, what way of life are you talking about? What is it? And these things that you mentioned earlier about Charlie Kirk, what he was trying to accomplish, the majority of those things we would agree with, except man worship, except worshiping a Jewish man. Otherwise, we worship the one who Jesus worshiped. That's it. And most Christians, they did a poll, I think it was like 50% of Christians, when they were asked about Jesus, and evangelicals, I think it was like 30%, they believe he was a prophet. They believe that he was a righteous teacher.
43% of American evangelicals don't believe Jesus is divine, don't believe that Jesus is God.
They're more in line with Islam. They just don't even know it.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. You have it force-fed down your throat that Jesus is God, that Jesus is a white man, that white men have a, you know, a special place in God's eye for some reason. You just get filled with this nonsense. And, you know, for me, it was, you know, just before 9/11, I had been on this journey of studying religion for about a year, and I had kind of went through Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Taoism, Shinto, Native American beliefs, and Islam was actually the last one that I had come across. For, you know, in my opinion, you know, Allah gives you all of the falsehoods first so that you can see what false it is, and then you can determine from when you see the light. It's so clear, so blatant that this is the truth. And with white Christians, they don't ever do that, right? I tried to explain this to my grandmother, who's very well versed in the Bible, and I was like, "Grandma, just do me a favor, just read the English translation of the Quran, just read it. And then if you don't agree with it, that's fine. That's up to you. I can't make you become anything you don't want to be, but just take the opportunity to read it." And she said, "I will never read it. I won't read it." And that's kind of been the case of so many Christians in the United States, that they're just blindfolded to think that Islam is evil, that it has a completely separate religion, completely separate belief system. And yes, there are fundamental differences. We don't worship Jesus, but you know what? Back in the day, neither did Christians, because the Council of Nicaea in 325 CE is when you had the Trinity adopted. That's 325 years after Jesus. Before that, there was no mention of a Trinity ever. And even in the modern Bible, whether you're looking at the Catholic Bible or you're looking at the Protestant Bibles from King James or even the Scofield, there's no mention of Jesus ever saying, "I am God," right? That's all an interpretation. And even the Protestant movement from Martin Luther in Germany, right? This was a brand new religion brought to break away from Catholicism and the English church. So all of these are new iterations, and the American version of it is so indoctrinated to think that, you know, the white race is superior, and that Jesus is a white man and God, and anything that contradicts that is like you're attacking them personally. And so they put up their guard. I get the comments all the time of people say, "What, you support Sharia?" Absolutely, I support Sharia. Why wouldn't I? No interest on bank loans, mandatory health care for all. That's the government's responsibility. Good roads, infrastructure. That's the government's responsibility. Umar bin al-Khattab on his deathbed, his main concern is that he didn't build enough roads for the Muslims. That's what he's thinking. That's the epitome of a good leader, right? That they're concerned about building the infrastructure for those that come after them. So yeah, I would be all for Sharia in the United States. And we already have
the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. Yeah. This is law, the Sharia of Moses.
Yeah, Jesus, it's also the same thing.
Same thing. It's law. This is the God's law. That's it.
Yeah. Sharia, even if you even look at Sharia, Sharia is a newfound term in Islamic history. So it wasn't ever actually mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It was scholars that came up with this term, and literally it means the way to the watering hole, and water is life, right? So the way of Islamic law and principles is the Sharia. So when people say Sharia, they don't understand. They think it's like the Taliban and women are wearing burqas and all of this. You know, my wife wears hijab. My daughters wear hijab every time they leave the house. That's they're like a wholehearted. They are into that. Like nobody is forcing them to do it. They want that for a couple of different reasons. One, they want to show their dedication to God. Number two, they don't want dudes looking at them. And you know, I wouldn't want a wife who wants to go out there and show her cleavage and her butt and everything else. Why would I want other men to see my most prized and beautiful gift from God? Why would I want anybody else to share that? I'm greedy. No, you're not looking at that. That's mine, right? You can go get yours, but that one's mine. And so, you know, I think that when you look at a lot of white Christian conservative men in the United States, they want the same thing as Muslim men.
They want the same thing.
It's we want what you have, but we're Christian, so we have to put you down, even though we want the exact same thing.
And now we can't say that because we got Nicki Minaj, and she's telling our wives now to take off all the clothes again. So you're just like working against yourselves.
I mean, even if you look at how Nicki Minaj came out onto the stage, she's wearing a miniskirt onto TPUSA, a conservative, white, nationalist, Christian organization.
Just destroyed all of Charlie Kirk's works. That's it. That's
yeah,
all it
I mean, he would be furious if he was on the stage. He'd be like, what are you doing? Get her off the stage. No.
Yeah, Erica Kirk destroyed Charlie Kirk's vision now. She's destroying it bit by bit. Unbelievable. Yeah. What did you think also of when you had Tucker Carlson? I mean, this person, that's a true patriot. That's somebody who wants good for his country, good for just humanity. And you see him coming on and he's like, why are we hating all these Muslims? How many millions of Muslims? And then you got Ben Shapiro coming on. And what did you think about Tucker Carlson's talk? Did you see that?
Attacking millions of Americans because they're Muslims? It's disgusting.
The turning point. Yeah. I was surprised they brought him on.
I was too. I know that there's a lot of pushback against having guys like Tucker on, but at the same time, like I said, Erica's trying to turn this into more of an entertainment thing than what Charlie Kirk was trying to do, because the money is in the entertainment. It's not in political change. And I think, you know, I never would have thought I would ever agree with Tucker Carlson on anything when he was on Fox.
Yeah.
Like, he was a huge proponent of anti-Islamism.
Huge change.
But you know what? Even Megyn Kelly came out and said when she was at Fox, she was told to promote Israel and hate Muslims, and there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, you're not going to have a different opinion.
That was Megyn Kelly?
Yeah, that was Megyn Kelly. He just said that the other day.
I didn't know that. Wow. So this is a new development also.
Yeah.
Is she shifting a little bit also now? Is she coming towards speaking more than him, like Tucker is? Yeah.
Megyn Kelly. I think with
so her, repeat that again. You're saying Megyn Kelly, she said that she was also push Islam hate.
Yep.
Wow.
You will support Israel and you will speak negatively of Arabs and Muslims. That is your job.
That's the op that Tucker Carlson was talking about. And you know, this Ryan Griffin report that talks about this this country trying to get their reputation back, and they got this whole big marketing company, and they said, look, what happened in Gaza, it's just you cannot repair it, but you got to go ahead and get the attention off you and now start to divert it towards the Muslims. You heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's,
I mean,
that the billion-dollar hate industry, that's what's causing this. All the money's
the
being
thing pushed. Is that it's not even just to that extent. It's so much deeper. I mean, you have the head of a Jewish lobbyist group that puts out the Anti-Semite of the Year award. We call it award now because it's like, if you're going to just put anti-Semitism on anybody who criticizes a genocide, then I guess we're all just anti-Semitic because 70% of the United States is against this genocide. So I guess America is just now an anti-Semite country. But she came out and said that, you know, we're changing laws. We've had people arrested in Florida. We've had people arrested in Texas, New York, California, and it's only going to increase for anti-Semitism. So now they're regulating free speech, right? And so the it's not just about trying to get the fake Christians like Jake Lang. This dude is a Jewish guy. He's a proud Jewish guy who is now trying to claim that he is a Christian crusader, blah, blah, blah. We all know that, like, he's not fooling anybody. This is why even when he goes and he does these provocative protests and stuff, nobody shows up to support him. He has like 10 people there, right? If you were really like, if Nick Fuentes were to show up at a protest, he would get thousands of people there. If Charlie Kirk were still alive and he showed up to do an anti-Islam protest, he'd probably get hundreds of thousands of people there. Jake Lang is a complete joke. Everybody knows he's a joke and nobody actually supports him except for the trolls on Facebook. That's about it. But those guys aren't going to actually get in their car, drive waste their gas, pay for a motel to go and support him because he's a joke. But you have those guys, but the more nefarious ones is, you know, you have CBS now in fully in the hands of that lady, whatever, Weiss. And she's literally gotten rid of everybody. She's turning it into Fox News. So now CBS is going to be like Fox News. TikTok is going to be like Fox News, to where you're not allowed to speak about anybody that resonates with Israel whatsoever. And so I make videos, and maybe it's not the most appropriate way of doing it, but I've made videos that have gone ultra viral on TikTok and Instagram, millions of views. And I start out by a true story of a Christian doing something horrible to Muslims, but I change the narrative. So instead of starting out, a Christian did XYZ to these Muslims, I say, breaking news, we have an Islamic extremist just did yada, yada, yada to a Christian. Except that's not actually what happened. Here's the real story of what happened. A Christian nun stabbed herself and then blamed Muslims trying to start a anti-Muslim riot in her country. And
that actually happened. That actually happened.
That actually happened, yeah. So it's true stories, but I changed the narrative for the hook because on TikTok, you can do that. You can slander and hate speech Muslims all day long, and you will not get a violation on TikTok. You will not get a violation on Facebook or Meta. You will not get a violation or a violation on YouTube. But if you start out the story with Christians attack Muslims and here's what happened, I've had it happen to me to where I've gotten hate speech violations and my video is taken down. So it's a strategy to where the first 10 seconds of the algorithm is going to look and be like, oh, okay, they're hating on Muslims. Cool. Let's boost this video. Wow. But then people see that after a few seconds, oh, wait, no, he's talking about the Christian nun who blamed Muslims and it was all set up, or the Christian pastor who brought an AR-15 to church and is telling Christians to go out there and fight evil and warrior spirit and all of this other stuff. Imagine if a Muslim had did that. If an imam in America had showed up with an AR-15 talking about we have to subjugate all the Christians in America, you would have every police officer and the FBI arresting everyone in the mosque within 4 minutes.
What do you think would have happened if this Jacob Lang, if he showed up at a synagogue with a decapitated pig's head with some version of abbreviated of the Talmud in the pig's mouth, talking about we're going to do, because that's what he was talking about, get out of America in his speech, or we're going to do the Crusades. He even mentioned the Vlad the Impaler, you know who that was in history?
Yep.
Imagine if he referenced Hitler and he was standing in front of a synagogue doing what he just did at a mosque. What do you think would have happened?
He'd be in jail, just like the lady from the Protecting Jewish whatever organization that's giving the anti-Semite award. She bragged about having people arrested in New York, Texas, Florida, California. He would be arrested for sure. He'd be facing hate crime charges.
Wow. Wow. It's the huge hypocrisy. Before we conclude, tell me now, you mentioned also something about the Hodgepodge twins.
The Hodge twins?
Hodge twins, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. In my video about them, I like the Hodge twins. I've been fans of theirs for a long time. I know they talk about Christianity and stuff, but they are really interesting to watch. They're funny guys. There's a lot of stuff that they talk about that I disagree with. But I think that if you just, unless somebody is a blatant fake and a fraud like a Jake Lang, I think that we can watch and we can agree and disagree with other people. So where I disagree with the Hodge twins is they try so hard to appease their white nationalist base. And to me, it's like they're lowering themselves. They don't have to do it. They're so naturally charismatic and funny that they would have a huge show without that base. So they don't have to pander to these people. But at the same time, I like the fact that sometimes like they throw these little jabs at the white MAGA base, but the white MAGA base is too stupid to figure out that they're actually making fun of them. But yeah, I think that the Hodge twins, they have a huge show. I would love to go on their show and debate some stuff with them at some point in the future. But I just, it disgusts me that they have to pander to those people who would just rather see them swinging from a tree than anything else. And it's kind of bad because, again, they're just really fun to watch. They're very entertaining. I love it when they start banging on each other because they're brothers. But man, I wish they would just stop trying to promote the white nationalism stuff, because I don't know if you guys have looked in the mirror, you're not white, and those guys don't care about you.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's why they refused to have, or haven't up until now, this educated Muslim on the program? Even though they've brought many Islam haters, but they've never actually had a Muslim, and they've been invited. Yeah. I've invited them on the program. Many people ask me to invite them. I've invited them. And we've called them to invite a Muslim on, to come on and have a discussion. Is that, what do you think? Why do you think they haven't done that so far?
I think that they're looking at it from a monetary issue. So if they start doing that, they're going to lose a big portion of their base. That's going to leave them. And that's their moneymaker, right? So the way, not only do they get paid from, you know, social media like YouTube, et cetera, but they have in a store where people buy their merch. And the majority, 99% of the people that buy their merch are white nationalist Christians. And if you start bringing Muslims on and you start to like, yeah, you know, we actually have a lot in common and we probably shouldn't hate you, even though they've made that statement a few times on their show. When they had Nick Fuentes on, he talked about it a little bit, and they kind of agreed that, yeah, we have more in common with Muslims than we do with Zionist Jews, for sure. But I think that they're probably just looking at it like, man, how much money would this cost us in lost revenue of white nationalists who buy our ridiculous merch? I think it's just a monetary issue. I don't think that they're opposed to it religiously, because honestly, I don't think these guys are super religious to begin with. They're comedians.
You think this is going to shift now? Have you noticed, you're somebody who also uses the X, have you noticed this huge, it's like, it's not organic, it's just, I don't know if there's a lot of bots also, and there's a big push now, I've like never before, this hate against Islam and Muslims, this fear mongering is constant. It just keeps, like, money's being pushed and to spread this hate. I mean, you noticed it, and is this like a last ditch effort? And do you see the tide turning that now more people, when they do really investigate Islam, submission to the creator, not the creation, many are drawn to it. Many see that it makes sense. What we're missing here, we got it in Islam. It's there. It just, the way it's been packaged and presented, it's actually some distorted way that we wouldn't even agree with. We would be scared of the same thing. They got some boogeyman version of Islam. But when they sit with yourself, someone like you, they sit with an American, they're seeing too, we're not Arabs. We're Americans here. European. I'm from Bosnia. My family's from Bosnia. So we got a European American. We're here practicing submission to the creator, not the creation. And if we sit and talk, I'm sure, like you talk to many conservatives, they would agree with, they'd actually probably agree with us more than the whole TPS USA Nicki Minaj fiasco. So do you see this turning? Are you seeing the push with the anti-Islam hate? And how long do you, what do you see in your foresight happening?
Well, when it comes to X, it's a cesspool of bots. That's been exposed when they opened up the geo tagging, and then they hurried up and shut it off because they realized that, you know, over half of these so-called conservative accounts are originating in, you know, Africa and Russia and Israel. Oh. And so that got exposed. So I don't listen to any of that nonsense on X. I don't even actually post on X too much. I just kind of go there for picking up videos and ideas and stuff. But when it comes to the fact that you're seeing so much anti-Islam hate right now being pushed out there by these social media apps, we'll look at who owns the social media apps and it'll tell you everything you need to know. And when you have Netanyahu coming out with a group of influencers saying that social media is the biggest battle that we need to fight to win right now, and we need to take over TikTok, and we already have a friend in Elon Musk. I mean, they're basically throwing it in our face. And now Israel has, I believe it's like a $1.3 billion budget for their Hasbara program to send out, you know, all of this nonsense, pay these fake influencers, etc. So I think that when you look at it from that aspect, you know you're losing the war when you have to start spending billions of dollars to pay people to support you. And a Gallup poll just came out. People under 30 in the United States, only 17% support Israel. That has never happened since the induction of that country, right? And so now Israel's looking at it, and they've even said, listen, if we lose America, we need to pivot to India. It's the next rising superpower. And they're already doing that. They have the Indian government in their pocket. And so they've lost American youth, I think, forever. I don't think any of the, you know, 83% of Americans under 30 will ever go back to supporting Israel or will ever support Israel in the future, because what has happened in Gaza has been, you know, implanted into their memory forever, right? And how could you ever support Nazi Germany, right? Unless you're just a stupid white supremacist. But the vast majority of the world will never ever look back and be like, yeah, I really support Nazi Germany. That was a great idea. Like, so the youth is gone. They've lost them. The only holdout that they have right now left is the baby boomers, because again, they're stuck in their ways. You know, they're not going to change. They're going to continue to support Israel forever because that's what their Protestant pastor told them to do. And, you know, again, you have 1,000 pastors brought over to Israel last month on Israel's dime, put them up in 5-star hotels and gave them the whole thing, made them even sign an agreement that if they go back to the United States and support Israel in their churches, that they'll get donations from their American organizations. And now they're signing up 10,000 more Christian preachers.
Wow.
In 2026. So that's desperation to me. Whenever you have to do that, you know that you've lost. It's like your last gasp. But the youth, look at Mom Donnie in New York. I don't agree with Mom Donnie's policies, a lot of them, but everybody was saying that New York would never elect a Muslim, a practicing Muslim, as mayor of New York City after 9/11. Well, the youth showed up in droves and said, you're wrong. So imagine what the midterms are going to look like. Imagine what 2028 is going to look like.
Are you familiar with the con man Schofield and
the Schofield Bible?
Yes. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is usually the people who will go down there, the thousands who are now you're talking about. This is because of that programming, right? Because this Schofield Bible and how this was promoted. And I think Christians believing, you know, whoever blesses thee is blessed and whoever curses thee is cursed. It's like the go-to verse, because Cyrus Schofield, the con man fraud who was in jail, the Zionists ended up pushing and promoting his work, millions of copies for free into the churches, into universities. And now they've been conned into this interpretation of these verses pointing it to this country. But I think many feel now that it's a part of their belief that they have to support this. But when this gets brought to their attention and now they realize that this is actually a con, this was not really for 1800 years, this had nothing to do with Christianity. This is something that's made up. I think this is very important that Christians actually, they discover this and they end up realizing that this is not part of their faith to support this evil that's happening.
And I would say, like, you know, the biggest failure, in my opinion, as to why we have so much Islamic hatred in the United States is a lack of the Muslim American community to do two things. And I think that if the Muslim American community would implement these two things within 10 years, the entire narrative changes. Number one, we need to invest in Muslim-owned media, period. Why are we allowing the narrative to be spoken by enemies of Islam? Why are we allowing people who want to sow hatred and division within the United States to own the narrative? We have more money in the United States as a Muslim community than the Jewish Americans have, because we have overwhelmingly doctors and lawyers and entrepreneurs by the millions in the United States. And a lot of them have ties back to the Gulf Arab states as well, where they can draw more investment. And the, you know, we haven't done that to a huge degree. I mean, you now have it with Zateo, but I have some issues with Zateo because they push a lot of left-wing stuff that I don't agree with, but they do really good in-depth journalism. So I like that about them. What you've been doing for years now has been amazing and has had a huge impact. So may Allah bless you for your efforts and your team.
Thank you.
Oh, we need more of it. And then the second thing is, you know, it doesn't mean, well, back to the first thing, it doesn't mean that you have to go out and start a media company. We went out and started a media company. I shut down my construction company and we went full-fledged into media and started this thing. Because I believe what I preach, Muslims need to own the media. We're not doing it. Okay. I'm going to close my construction company and I'm going to do it. And so that's what we're doing. It doesn't mean that you have to do that, but if you know of Muslim media, support it, watch the videos, share the videos. If they have donations, give donations. If they have merch, buy their merch, help to grow that out economically, because, a lot of the things that Muslim social media influencers do, it doesn't get out there and it doesn't get monetized and you're not going to get corporate sponsors for it. So it's got to be kind of crowdsource funded. The second thing that Muslims have failed to do that I've learned from living in a Mormon state for a couple of decades now is we don't have organized dawah. We have da'is out there. We have brothers and even some sisters who are going out on the streets and they're doing dawah and it's amazing work. But we have like millions of Muslims in the United States and maybe a couple of hundred da'is out there. That makes no sense, right? So what the Mormons do in the Mormon state that I live in, they have organized dawah for their religion. So when you turn 18, you're expected that you're going to go on a two-year mission before you even go to college. Now, you can delay that and whatever. And then they have, once you become a senior citizen and you've retired, now you do another mission. So they do, in their lifetime, typically they do two missions, once when they're young and once when they're older. And it's very organized and it's worldwide. Why aren't the Muslims doing that? Why don't we have an organization that organizes youth that want to go out and do dawah, right? If we do these two things, I guarantee you in the next 10 years, and I'm not saying the Muslims are going to take over America or anything like the white nationalists and the Zios put out there, but what we would have is so many millions, tens of millions, if not over 100 million Americans who are not Muslims saying, you're not going to attack the Muslims. They're good people. They're great people. I know Muslims. I've met them. I've sat with them. I've had lunch with them. They're my neighbors. That their kids have come and talked to me about Islam, right? All of these things. And I love, you know, the Dean Show, and I love Daily Rumble, and I love Zateo, and I get my information from these guys. If we just do that, instead of telling our kids, you have to just be a doctor, you have to do this, you have to do that, how about we put Islam first? And then go and put the dunya, right? Go do a mission for 6 months even. You don't even have to go to the two-year mission of the Mormons. Just do 6 months where you're going to knock on doors, set up tables, and you're going to talk about Islam and Muslims in America.
And that's Mike Dean from Daily Rumble. Check him out. Good having you on the program, brother.
Thank you, brother. It's an honor to be here. Like I said, been a huge fan of yours for years. Keep up the good work, bro.
Thank you, brother. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we'll meet up again. Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Islam has changed, William, in the most amazing ways. Most amazing ways. I'm devastated by what I've seen here. I'm absolutely devastated. And thank you for hosting this. Thank you for doing this.
They're just looking for a reaction. They're looking for trouble. We're here to educate humanity. And you see, brothers and sisters, what we're up against. But alhamdulillah, we're going to continue striving to get the Dawah Center, the educational center, open so we can go ahead and educate humanity on the most misunderstood way of life. We need your support right now. Assalamu alaikum.